من الف من الف ربنا هاي روش ماي بدرشي بي towards the bottom of the page of the Rosh. So we have that the Chachamim learned that the word Zkonoi teaches me that Nozer has to that a Mitzara has to cut his hair. When he cuts up his hair, he has to do it with a tar. According to Bliezer, we learn out from Roshai that the Mitzara has to cut his hair with tar. So, Rabbanu, what do they do with Rosh Hashanah? Kima de Mizkona Yadin and the Taglachas Mitzarah is Betar. They already know that the Taglachas Mitzarah is with a razor from the word Zakono, which Rabbi Yasser can't use, but the Chachamim could. So, what's the purpose of Rosh Hashanah? So, that's needed to tell me the Timata, the Isser of Hakafas Harosh, of cutting off the hair from the payas. So the Mor says, we have a braisa, which is the Torah says an isur cutting pay. As I would think, Mitzara also has the isur. Yechol af Mitzara kein v'kaim krod the kol sa'aroi hechad nimbetu peos roshay. So the pasuk says he has to remove all of sa'aroshay. Maybe it's in a case where his hair fell out. That's the only case. Mor says no. Therefore, we have the pasuk of roshay that you cut the peos. The Mor says, why can't you learn out that you cut the payas from Zkonoi? Once you know from Zkonoi that Esed HaKoloisa say, you could then say from when it comes to the payas of the Rosh, also Esed HaKoloisa say. Table name is Konoi. The Shemini Minei, the Esed HaKoloisa say. The say of the Taglachas Mitzara overrides the Loisa say of cutting the beard. So similarly, it will override the iser of cutting the payas. So the Mor says, no, tzrichi, the cost of zkonoi v'lektiv roshay, and without learn out payas roshay from zkonoi. Havamina kamos kol rosh lav shmolakov. I would say the reason I would have argued that the reason why. The head is mutter is not because Esed HaKoloisa say, but rather is because removing all of the hair of the head is not, the person is not over the iser of cutting his payas. The ikir iser hakofa, the primary iser of hakofa is benoitel payas harosh maniach shar. So he takes off the payas and he leaves everything else. So like Rashi says in Chumash, the definition of Akofa is that you make a straight line from the temple to behind the front of the forehead to behind the ear, above the ear. So that means the hair of the head is there, and the side has been totally shorn. So that's taking away the payas, because the Torah writes in the Lashon of the Los Akifu, don't make a circle. So I would think that the pasuk is only also if he leaves the hair of the head. If he takes off all of the hair, so there's no circle. So I would argue that case is mutter. So the Torah wrote the word Rosh to tell me, no, really, a kavas a Rosh, lemeda, a kavas kala Rosh. Is Shmuakaf that it is an Isser of Hakafa, but it's Mutter because of Esed HaKoloisa. So just write Rosho because of Rona Rosho. I have a mina Mashmat Tarti. Just writing Rosho, I would be confused and say, listen, it's from Af Agav the Shemina Mino Tarti. I can see from this thing two things. The Osi Asay, Bedochalus Asay, Vakumas called Rosh Shmoa Kofa, Akati Tarmanole. So I know that, Vakumas called Rosh Shmoa Kofa, I know that, Esedochalus Asay, I don't know that the Mitzara has to cut his hair with a razor. Why don't Vakumas pay us a Rosh? Bain Batar, Bain Mishlabatar is Machayb. because the fact that the Torah writes Esed Chalos Hasei by Peis Roshoi doesn't tell me what instrument you use to cut it, because by the Peis Rosh any instrument is awesome. So I need Esed Chalos Hasei for any instrument. The beard only answers with a razor. I don't know that Mitzvah has to cut his hair with a razor till I write the word Zekano to tell me that the Esi Lachin Kosrach Mona Zekanoi. The Shemina Minoah, the Taglach is Mitzvah, Batar. Okay. So now I know by this Kanoi, which we know has to be done with a razor. The Torah is saying that even though the mitzvah removing the hair of the mitzvah is only with a razor, and by Sekanoi there is an issur of removing the hair with a razor, as the Chalot says, Zatu Rosh, Mikan, Umikan Yeshlomoid, the Osir Lahakif Tstov Af Misraim. So it's clear in the Gemara that the issur of cutting the payas is even with the scissors. Because that's why the more differentiating between the pasuk by Rosh and the pasuk by Sekanoi. It's very clear. But miu dafka kishanol and samach l'Rosh. But the issue is only if a person cuts it with the scissors close to the head. Dachimasha v'lishna d'mirina b'makis hamasha tzav l'charei oznov. So if he makes it very short, so now it looks like the rest of the hair is much longer. So that's there. You have them circling, but if he leaves a significant amount of hair there, so it doesn't look like that.
So that based on that, one might say that cutting all the hair at about the same length, even if that length was particularly short, but not smooth,
right,
to the skin, would not be an issue.
The assumption normally of leaving the hair is k'day loch of Russia the like we had before, that you can take a tweezers and you can bend it down, mm-hmm. Which is not very high, but that's the amount we assume in a loch you need to leave. Yeah.
What's that approximated as?
I don't remember.
Thank you for it.
The Septa says that the person can be is chayiv malchus for both each side, and v'enu chayiv ad sheyakifenu b'tar v'hainu k'ein tar. So it means it has to cut it off in a way which looks like you're similar to that which would be if a person would do with a razor. V'alkein hurgalu l'haniach tzav milagaleach. So what people do, they just leave the sides that they don't do giluach, which means they don't make it smooth. They leave some amount of hair there. Okay. Okay. So holding the Gemara, this is the second line from the bottom, Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Rabbi Eliezer, the Osei Asei B'Dochei Es Lois Asei Minole. So according to Eliezer, how do we know Esed HaChalos HaSei? Eliezer learned the word Rosha to tell me that the way the Mitzara cuts his hairs with tar, so he doesn't use it for Esed HaChalos HaSei. Now he assumes Esed HaChalos HaSei. The text over here says, that he asks, but the Maisa you see is the Chalosa over here. So he brings from the two lines of the Tosfos of Eliezer that the Rebbeinu Peretz learns. Remember Rebbeinu Peretz, the Shemachim Perak of Eliezer, the Mukil LaHayroshim Meshum the Nozer Ika Lav Asay. Nozer is a Lois Asay and an Asay. We have a general rule that Es is not Doicha Lois Asay VeAsay. So the Het over here, if this is the source that we should learn to everywhere the Esed Cholos HaSev HaSeh. If it's not the source, and it's a different source, we have a right to say that maybe Nosar is different, it's not Shabbat Bakol, it only applies to the Sazipi people who are Makal and the Zeris. We can say some difference, but once you say a difference, this can't be the source. So there has to be another source.
What are they wearing?
The more answer, how do you know Esed Cholos HaSeh? Why can't you learn it out from Mitzara? That the Isser Mitzara is like these other Isser. Right? Excuse me. And the more brings a different pasuk, is the more's answer. And if you're going to tell me that, because over here, these Isserim are an Aseh and a Lois Aseh, there's the say of Pasukonoi, and there's the Lois Aseh of Pasukonoi, there's the say of Kedoshim, written by Kahanim, so they should be Kedoshim, which going back at all of the mitzvahs of the Kahuna, one of this is not the Kayan Shanaikon, his beard. The Torah writes this of cutting the beard by the Kayan. So then, why do you say to the Chalos Aseh? Vaseh, which the general rule is, Aseh is not the Chalos Aseh and an Aseh. So if this is the source, why not? So you'll answer to me that this can't be the source because the Aseh of Kahanim is not a Kamer to Kaseh because it's limited only to Kahanim. Fine. Then this is not the source anymore. The Lois is also written by Kahanim. So what is the source? That's what the Ben Peretz explains. Then he brings him to Tosis Achrina that the Gemara has to be assuming that this is teaching me the general rule. We know the general rule of Esed Cholos HaSeh from somewhere else. Because the Gemara before said, if the purpose of the pasuk is teaching me that it's mutter, the pasuk tells me it's a kana to tell me that it has to be betar. According to Rabbi Yehuda, how do I know that it has to be betar? According to Rabbi Yehuda, this will cut the beard is anyway. Any way you do it is going to be a problem. Because teach me, so let's say, I already know. So you're assuming Rabbi Yehuda, we already know. I said, let's say, that's the worst gasha. The more assumes in explaining the limud according to Eliezer that there has to be, it's a given that there's a source. So more says, so what's that source? So more says, more answers, yalef mikdilef, you learn it out from tzitzis. The Tanya, it says, losilba shatnes. The Pasuk says, losilba shatnes, semro pishtim yachtov. You should not wear a combination of linen and wool. And the next passage says, "Gidim tasa l'cha al arbas kafan susla shel tachasibo." But their mom is, the two psukim are adjacent. So if I have a baguette of linen and the tzitzis, which have to include tchelis, and tchelis has to be with wool, do I put tzitzis in or not? Well, even though it's Semra Pishim, it'll be Semra Pishim Yachtov, Dilam Tasilcha, you make the tzitzit, even though it's going to be Semra Pishim. That tells me that same tzitzit is Lechel Elois HaSeh of Shatnes. Hagdilam Tasilcha Mehem. But you can make tzitzit of Semra Pishim. And that's the drasha which we had in Yerbomis, and the Merlin's out, it's Lechel Elois HaSeh from tzitzit. Okay.
I mean, it's just because of the juxtaposition.
Smuchim.
Yeah. Because it's. I mean, it's not as though it says you should wear linen tzitzis. Because without the smuchim, you would just say, okay, so you know, you can't wear a linen garment that has four corners.
Right.
Or shlepish.
Right. Or if you would wear it, you would say, if you have a garment which has four corners, are you allowed to put it on? So you put it on, then you say, I'm an artist, I can't do the mitzvah, because there's. I'm not sure we're not being allowed to wear the garment. It's just a bit of a. Tosis says, We pointed this out when we learned Yevamos. Tosfos says an interesting thing. Later on, the Gemara discusses that din of that the Chacham have a power to be Erker Dabar Min HaTorah. The Chacham have a power to override the mitzvahs of Torah. So the Gemara says, for Harosh Shoah, they can even be override B'kumbasei. For an ongoing basis, they can only override B'shei Baltas. So they can tell us, whenever Rosh Hashanah pulls out, on the Shabbos, you don't blow Shofar. Don't sit and don't do anything. Shei Baltas. To tell me to actively go against the mitzvah of Torah, the Gemara says that they had a situation because of Migdal Milsa, they killed somebody who rode a horse on Shabbos. And how they killed somebody for riding a horse on Shabbos? And that's an assay. They're actively going and killing somebody. The Gemara says, the Migdal Milsa, the situation required this. That's a situational, you can't make that as an ongoing basis. The Gemara says that they were oiker, the mitzvah of putting tzitzis in a linen garment, according to Beis Shammah, they were oiker the mitzvah of putting tzitzis in a linen garment, because we're afraid that the person will put in tzitzis in linen garment without chelis, and then there's no reason to put linen to put wool, and then there's no denim hasach lo tzitzis. So Tosfos says, you're actually putting on a four-corner garment without putting in tzitzis. Tosfos says, no, the mitzvah of the Torah is once you have a garment on, you have a mitzvah say to put in tzitzis. And now you're just passively sitting there, not putting in the tzitzis. So even though practically it happens by doing an action, but the mitzvah is you should have tzitzis in the garment that you're wearing. So until I wear it, I have no mitzvah of tzitzis.
So if you're walking around your house and you're not putting on your tzitzis, your tzitzis aren't on.
Okay, you have no key if there are four corner garments.
Right.
Period. But now the question is, do I have an issue to put on a four corner garment without tzitzis? I want to take the four corner garment and wrap myself in it. Right? Am I allowed to do that or not? So, the question is: are you actively being over an issue or passive being over an issue? That's the Tosfos' question. So Tosfos says it's a passive transgression, because the mitzvah is not. There's no issue to put on the garment. The mitzvah is when you have the garment on, you should have tzitzis in it. Now, practically, the way you do it is by having tzitzis in first. But the commandment is once you're wearing it, so until you wear it, till the moment that it's on you, you have no mitzvah. The mitzvah starts the moment you have it on you. Now, the Mor Menocha says, so if you don't have to wear tzitzis, because it's only once you have the four corner garment, so you have to wear tzitzis. The Mor says, that's true. But since it's such a chashuv mitzvah, so in Shemayim, be'idin deriska, in the times of anger, the Rosh Hashanah will say, like, you had an opportunity to do such a wonderful mitzvah, why didn't you do it? So it's not like, you know, you're totally potter. Right? So it's interesting Gemara. The more, like, you know, it's a Muster Shmuz type of Gemara, but the more is saying it's a fact that this argument, well, I didn't have to put on a four-corner garment, so I didn't do an Avera. That's true, you didn't do an Avera, but you didn't do an opportunity of doing a mitzvah. So why didn't you want the opportunity of doing the mitzvah? But theoretically, if a person didn't put on the garment, he has no Avera.
This time, and then
okay. So why am I telling you this? I lost my thought process. So the mitzvah only starts once you have the garment on. Once you have the garment on, then you can't do the mitzvah because you don't have the correct tzitzis. So you're an onus. So for example, the halacha is that the Gemara in Brachos talks about Kavod HaBrius. The Gemara differentiates between Kavod HaBrius B'kumbasei or Kavod HaBrius B'shei Baltasa, that we can make on a deraisa on Kavod HaBrius if you're passively transgressing. We can't be make on a deraisa if you're actively transgressing. So a person would be wearing a garment which has klayim in it, even in public, we'd have to remove the garment. The person's wearing a garment and his tzitzis tear and he has no tzitzis to put in. See, that's a passive transgression. He's not mechuyev to take off the garment, because if he has no option of putting in tzitzis, so he's only he's being over at b'shev al ta'asa. So because of kavod abriyas, he wouldn't have, if that would be his garment, that that's his clothing. I'm talking about talis.
No, I'm saying also.
No, but it would be, he'd have to get undressed in public. So if he's wearing tzitzis, he realizes he's wearing shatnez, his pants are shatnez, he has to take off his pants. Right? Whereas his pants are really four cornered, he doesn't have tzitzis, so he's allowed to continue wearing that if he doesn't have tzitzis to put in. So it's brought down in Hilchos Tzitzis in Siman Yud Gimel, a case where Tzitzis tore on Shabbos. So you can't put in Tzitzis on Shabbos. So there's no Hitzoy issue if you're because the remaining Tzitzis are considered, you're carrying them and they have no purpose. So let's say there's an Erev, or the city is a walled city. So are you mekuyev in public to take off sitting person sitting in shul? And there's only, everybody has the talis. He's the only person sitting in the shul without a talis. He'd be embarrassed. So he's allowed to keep wearing the talis, even though the tzitzis aren't have torn. Because the kavod abriyas, we'd be mad to him, because he's honest. He can't put a tzitzis on job.
What is if you're in shul, you're inside a building. There's no air of a shul. What's the walled city called?
Right, I was saying, you're in closed areas, not a problem.
Okay.
I'm just pointing out that a different scenario, a person's wearing tzitzis and one of his tzitzis tears,
right,
and he's in Rosh Hashanah, he's got a problem.
Yeah.
Because he's carrying on Shabbos. The remaining tzitzis are they're considered a takshit to the garment. They're not part of the garment. So you're carrying tzitzis, but they're not considered carrying because they're there to beautify the garment, as it were, because they do a tikkun on the garment. But once you don't fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, because all the four corners are ma'akim each other.
Mm-hmm.
So one corner tears, one tzitzis of the corner tears, the other three are dysfunctional. So they're not considered a takshit. So not part of the garment, and they're not beautifying the garment. So you're carrying them. So now something which is insignificant is not called carrying. Let's say you have a loop in the back of your jacket, and the loop tears. Unless you're planning to fix it, it's not. Chayyim says if you're planning to fix it, it means it's kosher to you. So then it's considered carrying. A cleaner's tag. I couldn't care less if it's a cleaner's tag there. So it's not considered carrying. If I'm makban on it, so then it's kosher to me, and then it's a problem. Yeah.
To go off of the tzitzis real quick.
Yeah, back to the over here. Yeah.
Oh, so I'm trying to understand this. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, is this one of those cases exactly where any time we have a case where something is,
that's not match.
You have one mitzvah that's being positive on another mitzvah, he's always going to point back to shatness and say, I have two things, with the haircuts, with the shatness, and talis, whatever the case may be, with Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos, so he's always going to point back there? Or is it get, like,
okay,
it's
okay,
sort of a call?
Okay,
I missed the steps. Somewhere.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I see. So I threw in there's two different rules over here. There's one rule, Chalas HaZachol HaSaseh. The mitzvah of doing whatever mitzvah it is overrides the lo saseh in the Torah. So the mitzvah of putting in tzitzis overrides the isur of shatnez. Yes, that is the source for the general rule of esed doch lo saseh. So whenever I have the rule of a competent and I say lo saseh, the say wins. I know that from shatnez and tzitzis. Number one. Number two, the Gemara brings an opinion which says that, but that's only if you need to. That's Rish Lakish's rule. In a case where you don't need to, so the scenario which I need to is because the tchelis has to be wool.
Right.
The tchelis is a color. You could dye any thread, but the more it lives out, to fulfill the mitzvah of putting the seal of tchelis, it has to be dafka wool. So if I'm wearing a linen garment, I must put in, I can put linen tzitzis, the white ones, but the blue one has to be wool. So that's the color, so I say. But let's say I don't have any blue wool I don't have, so I'm putting in just white tzitzis. So I don't.
Then you couldn't put in.
I couldn't put in wool ones. I should put in linen ones.
Right. Okay.
Right. Because I have an option. So the Mora says, because of that concern, that people would think that you could put wool, white tzitzis into a linen. There's one opinion in the Gemara that they removed the mitzvah of tzitzis totally from a linen garment. A person wears a linen garment, he doesn't wear those tzitzis at all. So the question now is, how did the Chacham do that? So the Gemara says a rule, the Chacham have the power to relieve us from doing a positive commandment of the Torah. Which means positive commandments are usually done actively. You transgress them passively by not doing. Chacham said, don't do. We have other considerations. Don't do. Don't pull the sharper when it falls out on Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Don't take the dalad minim when sukkahs falls out on Shabbos. Don't put in sitzes into your garment. So Tosfos says they're not comparable. By over here, I'm actively putting on the garment without sitzes. Over there, I'm passively not blowing the shofar. And the Mora says to actively transgress, the Chacham cannot set up such a halacha on an ongoing basis. Actively transgressing the Torah is only permitted for a moment, a temporary situation which needs to be addressed, but not a permanent reality. So, killing somebody, the Chacham Bezin can use their authority to kill somebody. So they can't say, from now on, whenever this happens, we're going to kill somebody. They can't say that. They can say, in this situation, we decided that we need to. But that's it. You can't make this a permanent halacha. So putting in a garment is actively transgressing. Tosfos says no. The mitzvah tzitzis is not the mitzvah tzitzis only takes effect once you're wearing the garment. The mitzvah tzitzis is once you have a garment that you're wearing should have four corners, should have tzitzis on it. But until you put on the garment, there's no mitzvah. So once you put on the garment, it's not the veira. Put in the garment, now that's on, we say, okay, the split second later, put in tzitzis. I can't, so then I'm passively not putting in tzitzis. Even though I'm actively putting on the garment.
What time is davening?
What?
What time is davening?
Quarter of, it's Nate's.
6:45.
6:45, yeah.
Okay.
So, I have a question with regard to tzitzis. They're not a tachshit. They're not part of the garment.
They are. In the case where they're functional, they are definitely attached. They're beautifying your baggage in a certain sense. They're making it function right.
Okay, so they're attached, but they're not part of the garment.
They're kosher, they're not really part of the garment, but they're there to beautify the garment, as it were. It's not less than attached. They're making it function properly. But once one tears, now you got a problem. The remaining ones which are there are.
You'll learn how that's done.
Don't have that status of a takshit, but they're not both to the garment.
So, shatnez extends not only to the garment itself, but also to takshitim.
Anything which is attached to the garment, more than that, it has to be a stitch and a knot, or two stitches. Mm-hmm. It has to have permanence to it, so it could be you can accomplish that in multiple ways, but as long as it has to be attached to the garment in some way.
Gotcha.
So theoretically, if a person would take would just have a linen thread which ends up sticking penetrating through his woolen sweater just one time through, that's not also the rice. But if it goes through and it's tied, or it has two stitches, or it could be only three stitches, because even two stitches naturally comes out. Three stitches doesn't come out. In, out, in. So
and then a sheet, for instance, is not an issue because it's not a garment.
No, sheet would be a problem.
You're not wearing it, though. You're sleeping under it.
There's an issur of beggar shem. There's a different pasuk of beggar. Lo yalo lecha. You cannot bring it. You cannot put it over you. So. Yeah, but a linen garment, a linen sheet is a linen. You'd have a sheet with linen and wool, you'd have a problem.
We said before,
linen, you have a shot in this carpet. So shatnez means it can be once there's one thread of shatnez, the whole thing is also. So you can have the gigantic carpet if there's somewhere in that there's a, it's a wool carpet.
Yes.
And so they use a linen thread to sew the backing to it. So the Gemara says it's a problem because when you sit, if anything which is not hard, so when you step on it, some of it's going to fold over on top of your foot. So that's going to be shot in the rice. If it's hard, it's only the rabbanon. Zera out to a case where we had a mice in Cleveland. The person bought bought a wool rug, one of these Persian carpets. So he took it to the shatnez checker. The checker says, there's no problem with shatnez because it's not wool. It was a fake. So he went back to the guy, and the guy says, "Yeah, how do you know? Prove it." He says he had proof. So he threatened to take him to court. The guy came back his money.
But we don't check carpets. I mean, do we?
Yeah.
Do you lemaisa? We check carpets.
We should.
Yeah.
This is prudent.
The standard carpet you have in your house is not wool.
You bought a wool carpet and you paid for it. You know what you paid for it.
I hope you know what you paid for.
Well, let's say you bought.
So you see, you have to ask the shatnez. You have to ask, the general rule of checking something is, I'm not mechuyev to check for something where the concern is extraordinary, right? If you tell me that out of the 100,000 woolen rugs that are sold in this community, right, one of them has linen in it, I don't have to check for one in 100,000 possibility. There has to be some level of a concern. That's why we have these different, the shatnez checker is his job is to say, listen, you have if you bought it and it's made in Vietnam, we found shatnez there before, you need to check it. It was made in Persia, we don't. That's what they do. There's a whole set of tremendous amount of research being done to, because different companies, will have different problems, different places where they're being made, different problems. It's a tremendous amount of research done on this.
It's funny how we don't extend that though to.
It's the same as just checking for
suits. I mean, like even just suits. I mean, you have a brand. I mean, how many times does the shatnez checker need to check that brand?
So shatnez checker can tell you. Let's say, for example, I had a situation. A person came to me was right before Yom Tov, and he had that was his only suit. He's embarrassed to walk around without a suit, and his suit he didn't get a shatnez check. So I called him and said, "Listen, it's brand X, right? What is the research on it?" He says they've never found the brand X, so he's not aware. Yeah, why not? L'chachila check it just when I, why not? I'm saying but Meeker didn't in that situation. He's not aware. He would have told me it's brand Y. I'm saying brand Y, you can't wear. You have to use a check. There are differences. Yeah.
The
issue of shatnez, first of all, the first thing that they're doing is they're getting feedback from all of their checkers across the country. The shatnez lab in Lakewood is a national lab, so they're getting feedback from all of the shatnez checkers in the country, and even the ones that are not affiliated, they have a way to there's a loose network of giving feedback. So if all of a sudden some guy in California says, we've had a brand which never had a problem before, I found something over there, it's going to be, that information will be in the within 24 hours, it'll be in the lab, and then they'll say, okay, so now is it enough that we have to be concerned about it or not? That was decided now with the Uggs, right? The Uggs, they found some linen in some Uggs boots.
Oh,
certain varieties.
So based on the information, the back and forth with the company, etc., it was an aberration. It wasn't, it's an aberration. It wasn't something which they're supposedly doing on a regular basis. So now you have to know how much of a concern is it. If something which this is what the company does.
Somebody checked their shoes. Somebody checked out their shoes.
Yeah. Okay. Omer Mar.
Why would it be no?
Did you ever think to do that? To check your shoes out?
Well, that's only if they have
wool
shoes, though. Those are the fancy boots.
Okay, well, I don't get the fancy boots. What is the Rabbanan?
V'kulam shegilchu shaloi betar. So he said before that if they did the giluach, but not with a razor, or they left over two hairs, they have not fulfilled the full mitzvah of
You might have thought that a Torah can't shave his beard. And remember, when it says don't shave your beard by the Rabbanim, it means what? Don't shave your beard with
So all three of the scenarios, by the nazir cutting his hair of his head, by the mitzvah cutting all of the hair of his body, and the levim also it's all of the hair of the body, if they didn't do it with a tar or they left it with two saris, they have not fulfilled the mitzvah.
And so the Rabbanim is saying, the reason I said that is
because of the issur taking out the beard. Omer Rav Acha Breid, Rav Ika, Zosemeris, Ruwa Kekula Midaraisa. So we have a general rule that doing the roiv is sufficient at a Torah level. How do I know? Mimai, Midagol Rechmona Gabi Nozer, Bayama Shri Yigalchenu. There's an extra posik, which says that you have to cut, the second time it says you have to remove all the hair. So we darshan from the extra pasuk that you have to get all of it. So that teaches me that this is means we would have assumed, were not for the extra pasuk, that roiv is enough. And that extra pasuk tells me that over here, no, that's not enough.
By Rasorah, it gives
us the
possibility to take off all the hair.
Haba Alma, Ruba Kekula.
Why does it tell us that? Because you would think you're doing an Isser. You're only doing
okay.
It with a razor.
Okay. Zatim Mora, Masla Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Hi, Ben Nozer Tomek Siv.
How are you so sure that's what it is?
That Possek of Yemashir Yigal which you're darshaning from, is talking about a case of Nozer became Tomek. And he's cut a has to cut off all of his hair and start over again. So that's what we write the extra post to tell me that
you don't have to. Right?
And there it says so there's a halacha, there's extra pasuk to tell me that you gotta have to get all of it. But how do you know by Nozer Torah?
Just don't say anything.
So Mechakol Merav. The Mor says that in Merav they laughed at him. Why? Michti Nozer Tomei Debetar Min Olav. Means Nozer Torah Yolav. So there has to be a limit from Nozer Tomei to Nozer Torah. Because there's a limit from Nozer Torah to Nozer Tomei. Because how do you know that it has to be done Betar? It doesn't say explicitly over there. We learn it out from Nozer Torah. So if we learn out from Nozer Torah to Nozer Tomei that it has to be Betar, we learn out from Nozer Tomei to Nozer Torah that it has to be Kuloi. But let it be Nozer Tomei. Ma Tomei Kishar Shtesaris V'loi Klum Ovad. Achinami Kishar Shtesaris V'loi Klum Ovad. So we learn out from Nozer Tomei to Nozer Torah that even if two hairs are left over, it's no good. Okay. Let's see the Rabbi the Roshay Itzrich Legiluach Mitzara Betar. The pasuk of Roshay teaches me that the halacha of tar. So how do you know what the halacha says? How does he know the halacha of tchiyah? Me gedilim. So the halacha says the gedilim. The halacha says the lo subashatnis. So zok the rosh. That pasuk is extra. The kark siv. The pasuk already says we gilach. The word s isn't in the pasuk. Roshoy.
So it can't be that it's just that tar is something you could do. But you could do other.
The pasuk itself says gilach roshoy b'yom ha'tarasoy b'yom ha'shiyah galchenu.
Right.
So he could have said, we give like a Rosh Hashanah Torah say, but Yamash Shmi, what's your Galchenu a second time? To teach me, Lashin the Be'in and Taglacha Shlema, Shle Yeshar Klum. So it means that I would have assumed, just from the first pasuk, that if you get the majority of it, that's good enough. The pasuk says, no, you got to get everything. So he said, which is mash everything. The pasuk of that you got to get everything is by Nosa Tomei. But how do you know by Nosa Tor? So he said, because you learn one from the other. Okay. Let's just finish off to the Mishnah. Boy Abaya. Nazar Shagilach Mishar Shte Saris. So he did Giluach and he left over two hairs. So he did not fulfill Giluach. Samach Roshoy, Rechazim and Gilchim. Then the hair started growing back and he cut those two hairs. So he never got rid of all of the hair. He got rid of all of the hair which was there. But by the time he got rid of the second stage, some of the other hair had grown back. Now, Mima Akvi Aloy. Is the main thing you have to get to the stage where there's the person is totally hairless? Or the main thing is to remove all the hairs which were there, which he did. Boy Rava, a similar type of shayla, Nazar Shagilach, Vihiniach Shesaris. So he did Giluach, and he left over two hairs. And then, Vigilach Ach, of those two which were left, he cut one, Vigilach Achas, Vinosher Achas, Mahu. One fell off by itself. So, Lemaisa, he didn't do Giluach at all of his hair, but Lemaisa, he doesn't have any hair. So Amalei Ravachim he dipped to the Ravina. So Ravacha asked, so Gilach Sara coming by the Rava. Really, there's two issues over here. The issue is, let's say it wasn't that it fell off, but he did them one at a time. That's what happened. Right? He had left over two hairs, then he got rid of one, and then the second one fell off. What about the second one? Just he did the two remaining ones, he cut one, and then he waited and he cut the second one. Is that a kiyum of giluach? Because giluach is at least two hairs is giluach. Like we said, the same way that leaving two hairs is the problem means that the definition of removing is two hairs. You only remove one hair at a time. Is it okay to do one and then the other? So why are you asking a question that fell out?
Well, if they're not right next to each other, he's going to have to do them not right at the same time.
Fine, but he's asking. You seem to be focusing the question on the fact that he didn't cut one; it fell off by itself. There's a question which comes before that: is it a valid giluach when it's one after the other in that situation? Ask that question first, and then we'll get to the second question: what happens if it fell off by itself? Okay. So say the question all the way around. The question was, one fell out by itself, there's only one hair left, and then he cut it. That's the shiloh. Is it a valid kiyum by cutting that second one after one fell out? So that's not an issue of one after the other. The issue is, now there's only one left, and what do you do? Is that a valid kiyum of giluach when you only take one? So Amrlei. So the gear says Sarin Khan Giluch and Khan. He says there's no hair and there's no Giluch. Or Giluch and Khan, Sarin Khan. The Mor says, what does that mean? Isarin Khan, Giluch Yeshkan. Hachakomer, Avabi Shesar Ein Khan, Mrs. Giluch Ein Khan. Even though the hair is not here anymore, but he's not fulfilled the mitzvah of Giluch by one of them being removed by falling out. So he does not fulfill the mitzvah in that situation. Okay, we'll leave the rush for tomorrow.